Good evening, everyone. It's good to see everybody back out and get the opportunity to once again get together and look into the Word of God for a few minutes. You know, being new to the Tallahassee area and Tallahassee culture, I've really appreciated all the help that everyone's tried to be to me and adapting here. And even today, all the help that people have tried to be to me and adapting to how to deal with this particular day, it's been made very clear to me that I don't need to run over tonight. Don't worry, I don't take things too seriously like that, because after all, I know the most important game was yesterday afternoon anyway. So anyway, it's good for us to have the opportunity to get together and spend some time enjoying one another's fellowship, but most importantly, honoring our God and worshiping Him and continuing to give honor to Him through the study that we engage in this evening. And I hope that the things I have to say will be beneficial to you as you engage in your daily walk with Christ and try to help others in theirs as well. What I want to talk to you about this evening is something that I do not know. It's something that I wouldn't mind knowing, and I know that a lot of people desire to know. And it's been something that a lot of people have spent a lot of time trying to figure out and determine what it is. Not me. Now, I'll grant that if it was something that had been revealed by the Lord, something that God had indicated that I need to know, well, yeah, I would be interested in knowing what it is, and I would do my best to learn what it is and become familiar with it and sure about it. But as things stand, God has not seemed to reveal it to me, and so it's not something that I spend a lot of time, well, actually, it's not something that I spend any time worrying about or agonizing over. And what I'm talking about is the timing of the Lord's return. When Jesus is going to come again. The actual date on which the Lord Jesus will appear once again and make an end of all things. As I said, knowledge concerning the timing of this event, at least among those of us who believe that it will occur, but knowledge of this event is something that many people in the quote-unquote Christian world would love to obtain and to have. And I understand why. As a human being, I understand why many people would like to know when is this deadline by which time I need to make sure that I have got all my affairs in order. And as I'm sure most who are here this evening are aware, there have been multiple occasions down through the ages in which someone has declared, I've got it figured out. To this day, every so often, someone will rise up and make a big deal out of announcing that they've done it. They have been able to decode the Bible message in such a way as to reveal the date that the Lord will return and the world, at least as we have known it, will come to an end. As it happens, documented predictions of this nature go back as far as the 6th century. Now, I imagine probably even further than that, but we're talking about documented such attempts. Even in my own lifetime, I can recall, even from an early age, hearing about men who tried to predict the time of the Lord's return. I remember a man by the name of Armstrong back in the 1970s who made a couple of attempts to predict these days, and the dates that he predicted were in the 70s as well. I remember when I was in college, there was a man by the name of Wisenant. I had to look that up. I couldn't actually remember. There was a man by the name of Wisenant. He predicted that the Lord Jesus was going to return in 1988. And more recently, and maybe some more of you have heard about this one, it was only about 10 years ago, a very well-publicized attempt at this was engaged in by a man by the name of Harold Camping back in 2011. And back at that time, he went so far as to buy billboards all across the country. I can remember seeing a couple of them advertising that the end was going to come in 2011. And of course, there have been many, many more such attempts through the years. And each of these men who attempted to determine the date and fix the date for the Lord's return had their own means of arriving at their predictions, their own methodologies and things like that. But despite all that, all these men and their predictions did have one thing in common. And you know what that one thing is. Each and every one of them was wrong. How do I know that they were wrong? Look around you. We're still here. The earth still remains and life continues as it has. Not always, but for many, many years. And I'm just making the observation so as to point out that all of these predictions when the Lord will return have simply been incorrect. And this has often been the source of much disappointment and disillusion for many people. Now, for my part, personally, I was raised by parents and in a household that really didn't put any stock in those predictions that had been made down through the ages. And my parents didn't feel the need to try to determine when the Lord's return would be. So growing up, it was never a concern of mine. And I'll tell you right now, it remains not a concern of mine. Even as I have now grown into manhood and maturity, or at least chronological maturity, even now that I know more about the Bible than I did as a child, even now that I desire to know more about the Bible than I did as a child, I still am not terribly concerned about when the Lord will return. On a personal level, certainly. Now, I do believe that all of the effort that has been expended on trying to determine such information, and I want to say this as nicely as possible, I don't ever want to be ugly or hurtful, but it's just been a waste of time and effort. I want to take a few minutes this evening to tell you why I believe this to be the case. And I want to say up front that I'm trying to do this in such a way that I'm not offering my opinion, but I'm really trying to offer what the Scriptures actually say. Biblical, factual reasons as to why I don't need to concern myself with the date or the knowledge of the date of the Lord's return. And the first such reason is really kind of a big one. But perhaps the first reason, and maybe this is the first reason that might come to your mind as well, as to why I don't concern myself with the timing of the Lord's return is that it's just not possible to know. Again, I'm not saying that out of frustration, like I've been looking for it and just can't figure it out. I'm just saying it because I believe that's what the Bible teaches. The closest thing that I can think of that the Bible might have to say on this subject might be what Paul said to the folks gathered in Athens in Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, when he tells those gathered down in verse 31 that God has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. What Paul tells the people there in Athens is that there is a day coming when the Lord will return to judge the world. That day is out there. Paul believed it is coming. I believe it is coming. It's going to happen. The date is out there, but you can read all through this passage in Acts chapter 17, and what you will not find is Paul saying when that day will be. In fact, Paul himself did not know when that day would be. I think that can be seen elsewhere in the New Testament with regard to what he says concerning the Lord's return. For example, in his writings, you think about what he wrote to the Corinthians, what he wrote to the Thessalonians, he makes allowances in those writings for the fact that he might still be among the living when the Lord returns. Remember, he makes reference to that, we who are alive and remain. You know, he could do that. He really needed to do that to make that allowance that maybe it will happen while I'm living, because he just didn't know. He didn't know when the Lord was coming. He didn't know if it would be in his lifetime or not. And so he worded things that way. But you can look high and low throughout the New Testament. Well, the Old Testament too, for that matter, I suppose. But you can look high and low through the Scriptures, and you won't find a Scripture or a passage that states or implies a date, a set date, when Jesus will return. And in fact, really what you find is just the opposite. Consider, for example, what Paul wrote to the Thessalonian brethren in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and beginning in verse 1. There it is written, Paul speaking to the brethren, of course, "But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night." I don't know how many of you can relate to me on what I'm about to say. Maybe some of you have. And if you do, if you can, I'm sorry. But I have been the victim of thieves. Tanya and I have been the victim of thieves on a couple of occasions. Back before we had kids, the house that we were living in at the time once was broken into while we were gone at work, and a lot of our stuff was stolen. Then after we had the boys remember this actually, when they were quite small, it was actually on Thanksgiving Day, our car was broken into, and they got some of the boys' toys, got some of my toys too, you know. But we were robbed. That's happened to us on a couple of occasions. And you know this, I don't even have to tell you this, but you know that on neither of those occasions did the thieves call ahead to let us know, "Hey, we're going to be coming for you today." Well, Paul compares the Lord's return to that scenario. He will not be calling ahead to let us know when it will be. Nor has he left indicators in the scriptures, I believe, as to the timing of his appearing. Now, still here in 1 Thessalonians 5, it may be that some will continue to read on through this passage. And by the way, that's a good thing. I will never discourage you from keeping on reading after I stop reading, if that's something you want to do. But some may continue reading in this passage and come to verse 4, where Paul says, "But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief." And someone might look at that and say, "Well, doesn't that imply that these brethren had some idea of when the day was going to be?" In all honesty, I don't think so. I don't really believe that's what Paul is indicating here. First of all, think about this. Every last one of these people that Paul wrote to died before the Lord returned. You know how I know that? Yeah. They all died. Why would that even be a concern then? What would they have gained from knowing the date? Besides that, harmonizing what Paul and the rest of the New Testament writers write throughout the rest of the scriptures reveals that this cannot be what he is saying when we harmonize the scriptures. He's simply noting that they have been informed that the Lord will return. They know the Lord will return. And they know that he will return as a thief in the night. And so therefore there is no reason for them to be caught unawares and unprepared for that day should it occur in their lifetime. The implication was they were prepared and they were keeping themselves prepared. He's simply speaking of their preparedness. Much as we would all like to be prepared at all times for the possibility of a thief wanting to break into our homes or our businesses. And I think Jesus illustrated this same principle in Matthew 24 and verse 43. In Matthew 24 and 43, and we'll actually be looking more at this chapter in just a few moments. But there, in that particular verse, Jesus says, "But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed the house to be broken into." And again, I think the point, or at least part of the point, that the Lord is making with this illustration is seen in the very next verse, as he says, "Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." Yes, I'm coming at an hour you do not expect, but nevertheless, be ready. And I think that's all that Paul was saying to the Thessalonian brethren. You are ready. This is not going to overtake you like a thief because you have prepared yourselves. I mean, but how much more plainly could the Lord have stated it than he does in Matthew 24 and verse 44? Jesus says there, the time of his return will not be expected. What about the signs? Didn't Jesus talk about signs indicating his return was imminent? Signs pointing to his return? Even in this chapter in Matthew 24, didn't Jesus talk about signs indicating the time that he would return? Indicating the imminent end of the world? Well, one thing to keep in mind about Matthew 24 is that really, throughout the course of this chapter, Jesus is dealing with two separate events that he's talking about. The reason is he's responding to two separate questions that have been asked of him. In the first two verses of this chapter, it is written there, "Then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, 'Do you not see all these things? Assuredly I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down.'" So Jesus speaks, it seems pretty clearly in this verse, of the destruction of the temple, when all the temple stones would be torn down, referring to when the Romans would come about between 30 and 40 years later under the leadership of their general Titus, who would later become an emperor. But they would come and they would destroy the city. They would destroy the temple that has not been rebuilt since. So Jesus speaks of that. And then in verse 3, it says there, "Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, 'Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?'" So they come up to him and there's these two questions. When will these things be? I believe that they're referring back to what Jesus was talking about when he talked about the stones being thrown down, the temple being destroyed. When's that going to occur? And there's one other question we want to ask you as well, Lord, and that is, what will be the sign of your coming? In verse 3, what will be the sign of your coming at the end of the age, and the end of the age? So they wanted to know what to look for so as to anticipate the time of Jerusalem's destruction. Not only this, though, they wanted to know what to look for so as to anticipate when he will come again. And Jesus, I believe, does deal with both of these questions in chapter 24. In verses 4 through 35, I believe he's dealing primarily with the destruction of the city, the destruction of the temple. And as it turns out, he does, if you read through that passage, he does take note of things to look for in association with that particular event, with things, signs that they would be given to let them know that it's coming in anticipation of the nearness of the event. But notice also, if you come down to verse 34 of this part of the text, in verse 34, regarding all these things, Jesus says, "This generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place." So everything that he's been talking about up to this point in the chapter, including the signs that he speaks of that point to this coming calamity, has to do with something that would take place before the generation that was around at that time would die out. And as I speak to you in the year AD 2021, I say with great confidence that generation has died out. They are no longer here. They've passed away, so whatever Jesus was talking about with regard to those signs, that's already taken place. That's already happened. And is it in verse 36 of this chapter that Jesus, I believe, begins to deal with the second question that he was asked? And again, he speaks pretty plainly. As he says concerning their question about his return and the sign of the end of the age, he says there, "But of that day and hour, no one knows. Not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only." And in the succeeding verses, the Lord talks about how life will be proceeding as normal when that day comes. Now, he gave signs of strange things to look for with the impending destruction of Jerusalem. But with regard to the coming of the end of the age, he says, life's going to be going as normal when this happens. He doesn't speak of anything unusual or different taking place leading up to that day. Which is why he says in verse 44, as we've already noted in verse 42, that the time of his return will remain unknown to men until the day of his return. And you know what that says to me about trying to determine the date of his return? It's futile. It's a futile endeavor, and quite frankly, again, a waste of time. Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, that God's divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Well, we've just noted that Jesus has said God is not going to be giving us this piece of information, no matter how much we might like to have it. And taking these two facts together, that God's given us all that we need that pertains to life and godliness, and Jesus says, we're not going to know when he's coming. Well, that tells me that the date of Jesus' coming, or my knowledge or lack of knowledge of it, does not have a bearing on my ability to be godly or to do the things that God wants me to do while I'm here. And so really, again, another lesson, another reason why I'm not particularly concerned about it is that spending time trying to determine when Jesus is coming takes time away from other things that I could be doing. It's a waste of time. We've just seen from the scriptures that we're not going to be able to know, no matter how much effort we put into it, we're not going to be able to know ahead of time. And the time that we might, and the time that many do spend trying to make this determination, quite frankly, is time that could be put to better use by those of us who are believers. Those of us who believe in Jesus, those of us who believe that he will come again. We talked about this last Sunday morning. Time is a precious commodity. One of the most precious that we possess, in no small part because of its limited nature. It's limited for all of us. Whether we do live until the time of the Lord's return or die before then, I hope we all recognize our time is limited here on earth. As the psalmist put it in Psalm 90, we've got 70 or 80 or so years. So we need to learn to number our days. In other words, to learn that our days are numbered so as to value them and make the best possible use of them. The best use of the days that we've been given is found in doing the work that God has given us to do as believers. And we do have work to do. Matthew and Mark and Luke all provide us with information pertaining to the Great Commission, the assignment that Jesus left for his disciples when he left the earth. In the account in Matthew, we are told to make disciples and teach them to observe all that he commanded. In Mark, we are told to ensure that every last person has had the opportunity to hear the gospel message and that they be told what is required of them in order to be saved. Believe and be baptized. In Luke 24, we are told that repentance and remission of sins is to be preached to all nations. Nowhere in those instructions that the Lord left for us does the Lord speak of our need to inform people as to when he will return. That's not a part of the message that we've been given to pass along. We have a message, we have a mission, we have a message, and we have a limited amount of time in which to carry the mission out. You know, after what he says in Matthew 24, Jesus tells two parables in Matthew 25. There's the parable of the wise and foolish virgins, and there's the parable of the talents. And of course, the wise and foolish virgins, he speaks of the need to be prepared for when he returns. And in the parable of the talents that begins around verse 14 of Matthew 25, one of the things that he speaks of there is the fact that we are only able to carry out the work that we've been given to do until the master returns, until the Lord returns. At that time, the time for doing the work is over, and it's time for us to give an account of whether we've been doing the work or not and how we've been using our time. And that tells me I need to focus on the important things about the Lord and his will. Things that we can know, things that are, as Paul put it to the Corinthian brethren, of first importance. It is the gospel message, a message that does not include information pertaining to the time of Jesus' return, that we have been given to proclaim. And we do not have forever in which to get it done. Think about it. If the Lord had revealed when he was coming, what would you do about it to get ready? Would you know what to do in order to get ready? You would not without the gospel message. But with the gospel message, you can know what to do in order to be ready, regardless of whether you know when he's coming or not, regardless of when that day may be. That is the security that I believe people are seeking to obtain when they want to know when the Lord's coming. They just want that security of knowing, I'll be prepared by then. But you can be prepared by then anyway without knowing when he's coming, by hearing and responding to the gospel message. That brings me to the third reason I want to share with you about why I'm not concerned with knowing the precise date of the Lord's return. And it has to do with the fact that I am prepared and that many of you are prepared. From what I can tell from the Scriptures, as a believer who has done what I know I need to do in order to be ready, it really doesn't matter to me when He comes. From a personal standpoint, a standpoint of confidence in my personal well-being. Like the Thessalonians that we read about earlier, it is enough for me to know that He is coming. And to know that I have done what He says I need to do in order to be ready. So that like the Thessalonians, I am not caught unprepared by the day like a person who might be caught unprepared by a thief. He's told us what to do. We just need to do what He said to do and trust Him. I know He's coming. So I know I need to prepare. I don't know when He's coming, so I know I need to prepare ASAP. He hasn't come yet, which is a good thing for those who have not yet obeyed the gospel, but He can come at any time, which will not be a good thing for those who have not obeyed the gospel at that time. Peter, like Paul, spoke of this final day of the Lord in his second epistle, and he compared it to a thief coming in the night as well, 2 Peter chapter 3. And of course, in verse 9 of this text, Peter notes that the fact that the Lord has not returned yet should not be taken to mean that He won't return. He's just giving more people the chance to obey the gospel before He does return. But beginning in verse 10 of that text, 2 Peter 3 in verse 10, he writes, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat, both the earth and the works that are in it will be destroyed." Do you believe the Bible? Then you must believe it will happen. I believe it will happen. This we do know, despite the fact that we don't know when. Now, notice the next verse in 2 Peter 3. Written in view of what he's just said, that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. He goes on to say, "Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat." Peter says that in view of the fact that you know that the day will come, and that it will come as a thief, and that at that time all things will be brought to an end, that ought to affect what we do right now. Again, we've got enough information to know that we need to do something. How we conduct ourselves and how we respond to the knowledge of this information that God has given us to help us get ready for that day is of vital importance. Even without knowledge of when it will happen, knowledge that it will happen should prompt us to take action. This goes back to that preparation that Jesus spoke of, particularly in the parable of the wise and foolish virgins in Matthew 25. Just be prepared. Be prepared at all times. Since you know that it will happen, but not when it will happen. As he put it in Matthew 24 and verse 13, as the Lord put it, "Watch therefore, for," or "because you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." Could God have told us? Well, I think the answer is pretty obvious to that. But God has His reasons that we don't always know. Although I think I might have an inkling as to why He hasn't told us this particular piece of information. I think of the words of Moses to the children of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse 29, where he said, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever." Why? "That we may do all the words of this law." God tells us what we need to know in order to be pleasing to Him. If there's something that He hasn't revealed to us, well, we can rest assured that it's really not that important to his faithful children. In the scriptures, as Paul put it to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17, we have all that we need in order to be complete in the Lord. Being aware of that, we need not be particularly concerned about when he comes again, so long as we know that we are presently in compliance with his will and doing everything we can to help others be in compliance as well. He's coming. Just be ready for it when it happens. I appreciate your attention this evening. Go ahead and get ready to sing the invitation song Darren selected. And we want to offer you the opportunity at this very moment to make preparation, to get ready to meet the Lord in eternity. You know, Jesus may not come for another 500 years, or it might be in 3 weeks, or it might not be for another 6 months, or it might be tomorrow night, or it might be in 1,000 years, or it might be in the next 10 minutes. Are you ready? If not, please take advantage of the opportunity that is before you now. If you need to render obedience to the gospel, we stand ready to assist you. If you're a child of God that's drifted from the way and you know you need to get right with God, we stand ready to assist you. Please let us help you, even now, as we stand and sing together.
Prepare to meet thy God, care the soul.